Please join me in a moment of prayer. Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of our hearts be reflections of your truth, your love, your grace, and your life. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I love these Sundays after Easter. Not just because they mean that it's springtime, though it is, and these have been beautiful days that we've been experiencing this past week. And not just because it means that the days of Lent are now behind us after all these shelter-in-place days continue to feel like this is maybe the longest Lent of all time. No, at least in part, I love these Sundays after Easter because they give us a chance to dive into one of my favorite books of the Bible. The book known as the Acts of the Apostles. You see, for the past several years now, the Sundays just after Easter have been a time for us to shift our weekly readings from stories about the life and teaching and ministries of Jesus himself to stories about the life and the teachings and the ministry of the early church. And by extension, it's become an opportunity for us to think about how we live out the good news of Easter in our lives, in our words, and in our own ministries here in this world. So, for instance, this morning, we just heard Pastor Pam read a story from Acts chapter 3. What began back in Acts chapter 1 with a calling into service, and what continued in Acts chapter 2 with an empowering for service, here in chapter 3 it becomes an opportunity to be of service, to be of service to a man who is desperately in need. How did that story go? One day, apparently not too many days after Easter, Peter and John, two of Jesus' BFFs, they're going up to the temple in Jerusalem to worship and to pray. In other words, they're going to church. And on their way to worship, they encounter this beggar, a man who's never been able to walk, a man whose friends apparently would deposit him every day out in front of the sanctuary so that he could beg for money. But now, you got to pay close attention here, because there's this one little detail that pops up in the next portion of the story. And because oftentimes the Bible makes really big points in really small details. When the beggar saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for a handout, right? Maybe a bit of spare change. And how did Peter and John respond? They didn't glance in his direction. They didn't happen to look his way. What they did was they looked intently at him. They didn't distractedly turn their eyes toward him. They didn't give him an annoyed glance. What they did do was offer him their full attention. They didn't treat him as an irritation that needed to be dealt with. They didn't try to step around him so as to get to church on time. What they did do, first and foremost, was try to treat him as a human being. Now, there are a whole number of things that strike me about that one little detail that are worthy of our attention. For starters, does any one of us want to lay those words about how Peter and John looked intently at this broken fellow and lay them up against the last time we were confronted by a beggar? Like, for instance, even in this age of social distancing, just this week, I'm on my way out to Costco in Concord in search of toilet paper. And lo and behold, there's a woman asking for assistance, begging for assistance at the end of the freeway off-ramp, right, as you're about to turn right onto Monument Boulevard. There are always beggars on that corner, even in this time of social distancing. And how did I respond? Did I look at her intently? Yeah, right. I did everything I could not to make eye contact with her, actually. Did I offer her my full attention? No. My attention was mostly fixed on praying that the light would quickly turn green. Did I treat her like a human being? Anything but, honestly. Now, I didn't know, I don't know anything about that woman's situation. She might be an addict. Then again, she might not. She might be homeless. Then again, she might not. She might be mentally ill. Then again, she might not. She might have recently lost her job. Then again, she might not. She might be any one of a number of things. And then again, she might not. But the thing is that I wouldn't give her the time to find out. And maybe what this morning's Bible story is calling me into account over begins with giving that woman my full attention, even if just for a few moments. Now, I'm not saying that we can solve the crisis of homelessness in our society all by ourselves or that we should even try, but this snippet from God's Word, it invites us at the very least to be willing to give hurting people our attention. Our full attention, and at least to treat them as human beings rather than just as a problem to be solved or an irritant to be avoided. Then again, speaking of full attention, there's someone in our house who, in her own kind but assertive way, has reminded me recently that I don't even always do a very good job of giving her my full attention. That I get too distracted. That I'm too preoccupied to maybe give her my undivided attention. And that the fact that I'm not talking doesn't mean that I'm actually listening. And that instead of having a conversation, we're really having a non-versation, as it were. I'm not telling you that because I'm proud of that fact. I'm telling you that because it's a truth. I'm telling you that not because I'm eager to disclose it, but because it's a clear growth area for me. I tell you that not because I hope you'll emulate me, but because maybe both you and me can learn from my mistakes. You see, that looking intently thing there in Acts chapter 3, that means putting down my cell phone and actively engaging in a conversation. Looking intently means saying, at least for a few seconds, that what's going on to you truly is important to me. Looking intently means giving the other our full attention. Looking intently means saying, I may not have all the answers, sweetheart, but I certainly want to understand your question. But maybe most of all, that little detail about how Peter and John, they looked at him intently. It intrigues me because it seems as though it's related to the story of another encounter that's contained within the Bible. Anyone want to take a guess at what encounter that story brings to mind for me? Particularly, I'm thinking that there's a connection between this story that we read this morning, and the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember how there was that man who was on his way down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, who was set upon by a band of robbers who stole all of his possessions and left him there half dead? And then there was this priest who comes down the road, coming down that same road, took one look at the beaten up man, and he passed by on the other side. And then there was this uber religious fellow who came down the same road a little bit later, and he did the same thing. And then there was this Samaritan, this despised Samaritan, who comes down the road, takes one look at the beaten up fellow, and Luke in that text says, he was moved with pity. And he takes care of the half-dead victim. And then he does whatever it takes to restore him to wholeness and wellness. And in a certain way, the way Luke tells this story here in Acts chapter 3, with that little detail about looking intently, it invites us to hear an echo of that moved with pity line that Luke himself uses in his telling of the gospel. For the author of the gospel of Luke and the author of the book of Acts are one and the same man. And it seems as though what Luke is trying to say to us is that the people in the early church, Peter and John in this instance, that they took Jesus' teaching to heart. And they let Jesus' teaching guide their deeds. And that's worth paying attention to. For it seems to be inviting us to let Jesus' teaching guide our deeds as well. It's an invitation for us to go and do likewise. So think on these things, my friends, and stay safe, and stay well, and may you be numbered among those who go and do likewise. Amen.